great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, there's nothing like an outdoor adventure to make great memories with the kids in your life. Today, we're talking with the authors of a book that has 101 suggestions for things you can do to get outside and stay active this summer. I want to mention that this conversation was from last summer, so a couple of these recommendations might need a little adjusting with the coronavirus, and many of these things are still great options for exploring time outdoors. In fact, my daughter and I just spent a little bit of time in the garden, so that was a fun thing for my garden and my daughter and I to do. But you know what? There's at least 101 other things you could do with your own child. As a matter of fact, I have in front of me a book. It's called 101 Outdoor Adventures to Have Before You Grow Up. And the two authors of that book with me as well, Stacy Tornio. Stacy, hi. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Her son, Jack Tornio, with us as well. Jack, thank you for joining us, too.
Yeah. It's good to be here.
Jack's 15. Stacy is of undetermined age. But she's the mom.
Yeah.
And so they got together and put together this book. Again, it's 101 Outdoor Adventures to Have Before You Grow Up. So they're going to talk about some of those outdoor adventures. I've had a few other ones with my daughter, too. Maybe you've had some with your daughter or your son or maybe your grandchildren. Well, what gave you the idea to write this book together?
So, Jack, I have two kids, and Jack is my outdoorsy kid. So he's always been that kid that's, like, wanting to stay out in the tent by himself when he was, like, 4 years old and wanting to sleep in a tent hammock. And he's just always been that kid that's, like, up for anything. And so it's like, you know, books are always written by adults, you know, telling kids what to do. And so I was like, Jack, what do you think if we write this book together, but you give the kids' perspective, you give advice to kids about what's cool? And he was in right away, weren't you, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do your friends think now, Jack? You're an author.
At first, a lot of them didn't, like, believe me, like, at all. And then I would, like, pull up Amazon and show them my name and on the book cover. And then they would be like, oh, my gosh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, surprising that a 15-year-old can, like, write a book, you know?
Yeah, well, I like the fact that you have your own piece. And maybe describe how the book is laid out, because Jack gets a chance to...
Yeah, we really wanted like Jack to have a voice in there, like a kid voice in the book. So there's 101 things, like every item was vetted by Jack, like almost to, like we would have some arguments about things. He'd be like, Mom, that's lame. You know, I want to like put something else in there. So like all 101 things are vetted by Jack. And then I would write like the main section. And then within each item, there's like a Jack's tips and tricks. And so that's Jack's perspective. Like, you know, if kids want to go through and read this, like, go to the Jack section, you know, get his advice on what you should do.
I think that's a great idea. And you had some good tips. There was one in there about bike riding, I noticed. He says, I'd like to go to the smoothie place.
Right.
I'm not going to argue with you about that for sure. Well, what do you think about, would you call my adventure last night with my daughter, Jack, would you think that's an outdoor adventure?
I mean, almost like anything is an outdoor adventure if you're actually outside and spend time with people or just spend time outdoors in general. So, yeah, I think it counts.
Yeah, well... And you agree?
It counts. Like, that's the thing. Sometimes we think, like, outdoor adventure, and it's like, oh, we have to go to far places and do grand things. And those are great. Those are fun, and we should do those things. But we should also just take a pause in the day, you know, go for the walk around the block and go to places in our own cities and neighborhoods. Those definitely count.
Yeah, we've got a little 3 mile, well, actually it could be 1.5 miles or it could be 2 miles or it could be a 3 mile jog walk when Emily's alone, because she's in cross country, she runs it in pretty quick order. But it's fun just to walk along, to go for a walk with her and see the neighborhood and what the lawns look like and the plants and so forth.
Yeah, we get so used to just like seeing the same thing. Like we don't even realize what's around us a lot of times. And so like even my own kids are teenagers now and we'll have like little mini like challenges. Like let's see how many birds we can see, you know, in an hour or even at like 20 minutes. So it just really makes you like look at your surroundings in a different way other than just kind of going about your day or your usual route, you know?
You didn't just slap this together and in random order. You have some sort of organization to it that's kind of fun. You know, it's, we got camping, we got gardening, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, we divided it by chapters. Like we have like hiking is a chapter, and cooking is a chapter. And that's something like fishing's a chapter, and Jack loves fishing. And we really wanted to have different chapters to encourage people to try different things. Like Jack, like the mountaineering, that's like there's a chapter on just going to the mountains.
I saw that one and I thought, well, we don't have a lot of mountains around here.
Right. So like that's one to put on like a bucket list kind of thing where it's like, okay, when I get to the mountains, I'm going to do these things. Jack, do you have a favorite chapter?
Yeah, I got to say I like fishing a lot because a lot of the things I was able to, like, I either did them while I was writing the book or, like, I'm looking forward to doing them. Like, one of them, I believe, is, like, go fly fishing. And the previous spring break, I went to the Smoky Mountains with my mom and my sister. And my item for what I wanted to do was go fly fishing for a few hours. So that was fun.
And you learned to fly fish.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing. My daughter is, she got kind of spoiled on fishing because we lived on the lake and there was a bluegill bedding area right over our pier. So we'd throw our lines in the water and you'd count one, two. And if the cork didn't go under by two, it was, what's going on here?
Why aren't we catching? Lucky.
Why aren't we catching
anything? Good fishing.
Why aren't we catching anything? Oh, my goodness me. Well, we'll talk about some more of the things that Stacy and Jack have in their book, certainly. What about you? What ideas do you have? What do you like to do with your children or maybe with your grandchildren to get outdoors during the summer? And these are things, actually, you could do a lot of this in the winter, summer, fall, spring, any other time of the year, but this is kind of set up for, I like the fact 101 adventures, outdoor adventures to have before you grow up. Now, go a little further on that explanation.
Well, growing up isn't just like when you turn 18. What do you think, Jack?
Well, in general, as you start to grow older, you start to gather more responsibilities with like more school, like maybe college if you're into that, maybe sports if you're into that, or a job, and like all over more responsibilities. And when you like, and then you get less and less time to go outside and do those things. And instead of like an hour or two, like picnic and dinner like you did with your daughter yesterday, it becomes to like a 30-minute one. And then like it's good that you can have these memories before you grow up and then like motivate you to try to find time to do so.
Yeah,
it is.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my kids being like 2 and 3 and 4. Those were easy times to go outside because they're like little toddlers with like wide eyes. And it's like you want to go outside and they're like, yes, that's all they want to do. And so it does get a little more challenging as kids get older and teenagers, and it's like electronics and like Jack said, sports and activities. And it's like, you know what? There are still a lot of really great things to do outside. It's really like meaningful, like time and family time. And so sometimes we have to remember that and like make ourselves take the time, but it's really worth it in the end.
We have Mike in Minocqua with something for us. Mike, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good.
I had two quick experiences with my kids outdoors. One was my daughter, who was about 11 at the time, we went to the Turtle Flowage, where you have to canoe out to an island and camp. And it was, she had taken, she'd gone to a camp and learned how to canoe, and I was sort of wondering how she would do. We got caught in a storm, and I found out she was a lot better canoer than I thought. So that turned out to be a real good experience for the two of us living outside for about 3 nights. And the other thing I did is I took my three of my kids to Cooperstown, New York, and to see the Hall of Fame. But instead of staying in a hotel, we camped out. And that was cool, you know, because we had the double experience of having a fire every night and being outside and in a tent and being in the Hall of Fame all day. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds great, Mike. Thanks a lot for calling. What do you think, Jack?
I think that's awesome. Like, I know how to kayak, but, like, I don't really, like, canoe with people. And, like, itself going to an island and, like, living there for a few nights sounds awesome.
And sometimes it's about negotiation. So, like, Jack will tell you, like, this is not something I like to broadcast, but I do not love camping in a tent. Mm-hmm. I just don't. It's not my favorite thing. And so sometimes we'll negotiate, like, okay, you camp one night, we hotel two nights, you know? And, like, that's okay. I think it's okay to have compromises and you can still have those outdoor experiences.
Well, there is nothing like camping on an island, and the Turtle Flambeau Flowage that Mike was talking
about.
Amazing. There are hundreds and hundreds of those islands in there, and you can get permits. There are special ones that are set aside, but you might be the only tent on that island.
Yeah, that's cool. Jack just, like, put that on his list. Now he's going to be hitting me up to go to the go there and do a canoe trip like that.
Oh, the Turtle Flambeau Flowage, a wonderful, wonderful place. And Mike, thank you again for calling. And speaking of emails, Romero emailed. He's taken his daughter to Chicago for weekends, but last fall they went to Peru.
Wow.
Yeah, for a week to tour and see Machu Picchu. They had a blast. They learned a lot and explored a different culture.
That's amazing. I'm jealous, Romero.
Yeah, that's a... have you guys done traveled out of the country?
No, Jack has some travel coming up next year, but no, we have not done a lot of that.
I tell you what, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful time. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Dave Potratz, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Talking today with the authors of the book 101 Outdoor Adventures to Have Before You Grow Up. Stacy Tornio, one of the authors, and her 15-year-old son, Jack Tornio, having some fun with them talking about 101 outdoor adventures. We've actually hit on a couple that weren't in the book, but they're darn good ones anyway. Let's go to Spooner, talk with Ted. Hi, Ted. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hello.
What have you got for us today?
Like I told the person on the earlier, I had my grandson come out to the hunting track. We peeled some small popple sticks earlier, made a little teepee, and planted pole beans around it, and they're climbing up, and he's really excited about it.
Oh, see, now that's a good idea, and you have a section on gardening.
Yeah, gardening is near and dear to my heart, and Jack's a big gardener, too. And so I've seen that. I know exactly what you're talking about, Ted, with the kind of teepee shape and how the beans grow up it. And then it kind of, has it covered it up yet so that he can kind of hide inside yet?
No, not yet. The sad part, I'm putting a septic system in here, and it's going to be all removed because of the septic system.
Oh, no.
Aw.
Oh, well, life happens, you know.
It happens next year. Do it again.
Yeah, do it again. Well, one of the things that I kind of liked in your gardening section, of course, I do a garden talk show every Friday, but growing a garden in a box.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys ever done that? A cardboard box.
Yeah, Jack will tell you the best thing to grow in the box.
What's the best thing, Jack?
I really love cilantro, so I always grow cilantro in a box or in my garden, whether or not it is approved. by my mother.
Cilantro.
You're not a big cilantro fan.
I love Stacey. Cilantro. It's a good thing to grow in a box because it is pretty short lived, and yeah. So like in and out, done. By the time the box kind of falls apart, like you've had your cilantro. He does put it on everything. Potatoes, that's the other good thing in a box, because for kids especially, whenever it's time to harvest a potato, you just rip the box open and you don't have to dig.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense to me. So that's one of the ideas in the book. Growing your own herbs, you mentioned that. That's in the book. And growing your own tomatoes for sure is, I love tomatoes right next to the house. You just go and pick one off and take it in and eat it.
Yeah, we have this fantastic garden center near us that does like different heirlooms, and so we're always growing something different because mm-hmm. we just go and like look at the labels and see like, oh yeah, this sounds cool, let's try it.
Well, we got Laura in Cumberland on next. Let's go there. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
So what do you do to have fun?
I have my nieces and nephews out to the house. We call it Camp Tyler. My husband has one of his brothers has 9 children, and my sister has 3.
Oh.
So we have the kids that are old enough to come from Michigan over, and the ones from Minnesota to come to the house. We have them for a week, usually in the summertime in August, when they're between their activities, and then we have an action-packed week full of fun. We don't have children ourselves, so... We take them rock climbing, and we kind of try to mix it up. We did an art class 1 year, and they all got to make fairy castles with dragons and kind of some clay work and painting. And then we took them to the aerial rope course at Trollhagen.
Wow.
Pretty phenomenal course. And then last year we added, they were getting a little bit older, we added a trap shooting day. We had somebody I know as an instructor for children, so he came out to the trap shooting course, and we all got to shoot trap together. And it's just it's 2 girls and the rest are boys, so and they usually, we don't take them over until they're like 8 or 9, so that way we don't have to drive them back to Michigan in the middle of the night.
Laura, I have to tell you that I'm from Oklahoma originally, but my kids were born in Wisconsin, and every year since they were babies, I've let them go and spend a week with my mom in Oklahoma, and she does all kind of, like the kind of stuff you're talking about, and it is so meaningful and has been for them. Like, they look forward to it every year, so... Kudos to you.
Yeah, you're doing a good job there, Laura. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I used to get to go to my aunt and uncle's place for a week in the summer, and they lived on Castle Rock Lake, Mildred and Happy Strand. And
yeah.
They had a restaurant and a little bar. And
that's so cool.
Go fishing every day. I would be so sad when I had to go home.
Those are the memories.
Oh, man. Well, let's see. Courtney in Middleton will give you a chance. Hi, Courtney.
Hey, guys.
So what have you got for us?
Well, we plan on having a family trip every year, and we try to pick different places to go. This year we went to Los Angeles. We actually went to Ventura. Stayed in like a condo-y type house, really close to the beach, spent some time on the beach, learned to slide and learned to surf. The girls learned to surf. went to Channel Island. That was amazing. We saw dolphins. We saw whales. They have these little tiny foxes that are so adorable. And it was a great time. And for taking, 4 preteen girls, you'd think that would be a nightmare, but they did great, and they had so much fun. And it's a great time for them to, like, bond with each other, because
yeah.
It's just them
yeah.
the whole time.
Yeah, that, you know, there's a lot to that, Courtney. Thank you for that comment. Maybe Stacy has a comment.
Yeah, you know, I've done those trips with my kids, and it does, like, Jack and his sister are 2 years apart, and there's nothing like, you know, like bonding in whenever you're both trying something for the first time or going out looking for shells on the beach. Like, those are great moments. Thank you for that tip.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And actually, you have a whole section in your book on wildlife watching as well.
Yeah, we do. So, like, it, like, really, no matter where you go, wherever you travel, there's something to see. And so whenever we go someplace, I always like to Google, like, what's in the area. Sometimes you can get, like, free bird walks. Audubon centers are always doing free bird walks, and you can learn from the locals.
So have you become a birder at all, Jack?
To a point. Like, I enjoy doing everything outdoor, but gardening and bird watching is really, like, my mom's kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, she loves bird watching. Like, she loves going into my dad's house and, like, sitting there on her computer for hours just trying to spot different kinds of birds and stuff.
Yeah, the bird watch. I worked for Birds and Blooms magazine for 10 years, and so the birding and gardening is, like, ingrained in me.
Built right in.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, let's try Diane in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Just a short comment, kind of following up on the wildlife area. I have a camper van that's very easy for me to drive, and so I grab my granddaughter and we've gone to the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo, and then we went up to Antigo to the Raptor Center. But my favorite thing to do with her is to head to Clam Lake or the Flambeau River area or Black River to try to catch the elk bugling in the fall. Mm-hmm. We've not been successful at that yet, but one more reason to try again this year.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing like that sound, Diane. It's just a fabulous sound. And what another great adventure.
Oh, we could do a book just on Wisconsin. I mean, I love Wisconsin and how much nature we have available to us at our fingertips. Jack loves to go up. He has an up north place that he likes to go with his grandma. And it's like we just have so much great nature in this state.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're talking to a muskie fisherman here, Jack. So I caught a lot of muskies in my day, and I've had a lot of fun doing it. And especially in northern Wisconsin, because it's like you're out on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage, for example. It feels like you're in the middle of Canada or something, in the middle of nowhere. There are no buildings in sight, and it's just a great experience.
Yeah, I've, in the lake that my grandma has or is nearby, I've caught every fish in there except walleye and muskie. So catching muskie are definitely on my list.
Well, I'll give you some tips if you maybe after the show.
Some secret tips.
I have about 4 tackle boxes all completely filled with lures that I have spent untold amounts of money. Let's put it that way. Oh, boy. Bill in Rice Lake, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Well, good morning, Larry and guest. I love every program you ever have.
Thank you.
I want to tell you, my wife and I are fortunate to have 2 granddaughters, ages 5 and 8. And yesterday we took them up to Wildwood Animal Zoo and Wildlife Safari on Highway 70, just outside of Minocqua. And we had a fantastic day. You can walk around and see hundreds of animals in their natural settings. And they also have a tram ride, which you took through the park. That's about a half hour. And while we were on the tram ride, a wild ostrich, full grown, came up and almost took the hat off my one granddaughter. I couldn't have just reached out and touched it. They're so close. It's so great. We had a fantastic day, and it's an excellent opportunity to share wildlife with anyone at all.
Bill, thank you very much for calling. Comment?
Animals are, like, such a magnet for really all ages, but like I feel like kids especially, like that's why zoos, you know, are so popular with kids at such a young age. And then if you can get them to make that connection from the zoo to the wildlife and nature and protecting our lands, like all of those are really important lifelong lessons for kids.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Bill. Appreciate it. Marcus in Milwaukee has something for us, an idea. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. So I'm married and divorced. I have three younger children with my new partner, but I have two that are the 13 and 16 now. But when they were around about 10 and 13, I'd let them put together plans where they wanted to go, and they'd look on the internet and find stuff. And so one time we went out to the Cave of the Mounds and the Natural Rock Bridge out near Devil's Lake. I took them up to Krivitz and, you know, Schaefer's Chicken. And, you know, we go down to Grant Park because we're in Milwaukee, or out to Holy Hill. And, you know, them having an interactive planning, you know, role in it, it just makes it that much more special, because then there's some things that they've been able to show me, and grandma sometimes will tag along, and, you know, so then they're telling us about and teaching us at the same time that they just learned about it. So.
That is a really cool idea.
Yeah, Marcus, I have to say, we're in Milwaukee, so Grant Park is close to our hearts. It's one of our favorite places to go. And you're like spot on, like letting kids like have a say. Sometimes that's all it takes. Like instead of like forcing them to go outside as they're getting older and they're like, oh, I don't want to go. Just letting them have an opinion can really make a difference. So you're doing good.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Marcus. And actually, as I think about Milwaukee, one of the great things about Milwaukee is that you're in this urban center with a lot of people, but the park situation in Milwaukee, everything from the Lake Michigan shoreline to all of the parks, it's fantastic. Isn't it, Jack?
Yeah, so there's like a lot of like parks and stuff, and my mom's friend and now my friend Ken, he owns a urban ecology center, and his house is right next to the Milwaukee River, so like he'll always talk about how sometimes he'll like go fishing down there or just explore, and it sounds like an awesome.
It's like house right there in the city, you know.
Yeah, it's right in the city.
Yeah,
yeah. There's amazing opportunities. And you know what? Even an urban center like Milwaukee, or maybe you're in a small town somewhere, there's those opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, there is good parks there. So, like, they really protected the lakefront with the parks in Milwaukee. So go out there and check them out.
Well, let's go to Dennis in Reidsville. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. Something I like to do is to take our grandchildren to our cabin in northern Wisconsin on a clear January night, shut off all the lights and take them out. And the look on their face when they first realize how many stars are in the sky is just priceless.
You know, you're absolutely right about that. And in northern Wisconsin, we have a cabin in northern Wisconsin, and often go there in the, well, in the times when people normally aren't going, you know, maybe November, December, January, yeah. Those are wonderful times. And you talk a bit about that in the book, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, this like stars in the middle of nowhere, like you cannot like explain that. You just have to see it. And so especially if you have kids who have never done that, like pitch dark, just like you're talking about. Oh, it's amazing. Like the Milky Way, like you, mm-hmm. like being able to see what the Milky Way means. You can't see it in a photo or a video. You have to like see it for yourself.
Yeah, great suggestion. John in Clam Lake has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, John.
Hey, Larry, I think on one of your shows here, you had mentioned with monarchs that the survival rate between going from caterpillar up to an actual butterfly is like 5% or 10%.
Yeah.
So this year, what we've done with our little ones is we've gone out, found some milkweed plants, found some with little caterpillars, and we've been able to do 5 or 10 of them and watch them go from, I mean, you know, they grow really fast, go from a tiny caterpillar, you know, the kids are able to see them turn into a chrysalis, And then once they come out of that chrysalis, you know, they're able to put them on their finger, you know, walk them outside and have them fly away. And for us to be able to see our kids do that, we think that's a pretty neat thing.
Oh, man, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Oh, that connection of being able to watch that process. And what I love what that you're doing there is, like, you're finding the caterpillars. And so, like, that connection of your kids seeing, like, that they're right there. Like, they're right in your own backyard, right in your own neighborhood. Like, that is such a great connection that will stick with your kids for years. So that's really cool.
Thank you very much for calling. And speaking of insects, we'll be talking about dragonflies and damselflies in just a few minutes on the show, John. So stay listening for that, too. But let's go to Rod in Pine Bluff. Hi, Rod.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. We're doing something kind of different for a change. Our oldest granddaughter just graduated high school and is off to college in the fall, and we have planned a family outing. We rented a house up in Door County at Sister Bay, and we're taking the whole family up there. We have a 14-year-old granddaughter and a 17-year-old, and along with our two daughters and the one husband, and we're going up for 5 days to have a final family outing because, of course, we don't know where college student will be in the future.
Yeah, what a great experience. Take lots of pictures, Rod.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is awesome. I love Door County. And if you have a chance, get over to Washington Island and take a look at the lavender farm over there. It's not to be missed, as a matter of fact. And the lavender is in full bloom, I'm told by Jill Nadeau, who was just up there.
This is the time to go.
Ted and Spooner, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hello again. Everybody so far that I listened to talk about traveling and everything else. I had my kids in the yard, in the garden especially. We take out a stethoscope on a good hot day. You can go into the cornfield, sweet corn, and listen to the juice going. Sounds like a heartbeat. And the same thing with tomatoes. And then ask him the question, is that what God, how did God create that? And help them out to find a paper where they can learn more and keep on going.
Yeah, I love that you're doing that right in your own backyard. Like, I'll tell people, you don't have to go anywhere. Just go and look at the bugs. Go find the bugs in your backyard. Mm-hmm. Like, they're there. They're so tiny, we sometimes forget to look for them. But they're cool once you take a closer look.
Well, thank you so much. I love that. A stethoscope.
Yeah, that's great.
That is I had never even thought of anything like that. But I guess you can probably get one.
Yeah.
I don't know why you couldn't go to pick up a stethoscope somewhere, probably for not all that much money.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that idea. I thought Ted was going to say, Jill had said, Ted wants to talk about listening to corn and other veggies, and I thought, oh, maybe listening to the leaves rustle through the, and even that's kind of pretty.
Yeah.
It's just if it's quiet, just sit and listen to the wind going through the trees and the corn and all that. Nancy in Evansville says a close to home and environmentally a great experience for youngsters is planting a tree. They have planted over 1,500 native Wisconsin trees with children in their community. And every time somebody has exclaimed, this is the best, children then have their tree that they can watch grow for years.
Nancy, you're setting the bar high, 1,500 trees.
Wow. Well, obviously, it sounds like a community thing. So you get
wonderful.
Get all the kids together. And you know what, Nancy? There are some trees that I planted when I was 17 years old and in FFA. And we planted those trees. And I can tell you, they're pretty darn big now, and I always get a good feeling every time I see them.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good that I love that, and then you can kind of watch it as it grows over the years.
Tracy emailed to say she's 61 years old and still hasn't grown up. By the way, she still loves having a campfire and cooking a hot dog on a locally carved hot dog stick. Do you guys ever do that?
Yeah, I do it all the time. Whether I'm up north or in my backyard, I always...
Last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing that. You got a little fire pit in the back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I've got that as well. I got a little place where I can set up a fire. And between marshmallows or s'mores. S'mores, I think you mentioned in the... Did you mention s'mores?
Yeah. We do.
Make your own s'more, like creative s'more, like put fruit on it or... Reese's peanut butter cups or something like that.
Yeah, like, Reese's. I haven't done Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, it's so good. And
it's a favorite of mine.
That's Jack's favorite. It's like invent your own s'more. So like, you know, try anything. Bananas. I like bananas on mine.
You do banana s'mores.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
You guys are creative. That's for sure. Well, we haven't even, you know, covered not even 1% almost of the things that you've got in the book. So, and the thing I like about the book, and there are some things, oh, yeah, I've done that and I've done that. But then I got some ideas, quite a few ideas for things that I can do with daughter Emily or daughters outside, or if you got a son or a niece or a nephew or whatever, grandchild. There's lots to see. And how do we get copies of the book and so forth?
Well, that we get carried pretty well in bookstores, so you might be able to get one at your local bookstore. We always say support local if
you
can.
Yeah, for sure. Falcon Books.
Yep, Falcon Guides is the publisher, and I mean we're definitely online on Amazon, on Barnes and Noble. But if you do have a local bookstore, ask for it. We would appreciate that.
Absolutely, and you have a website which is really. Nice one.
Yeah, thanks. It's called Destination Nature, so destinationnature.com. And we have some more, you know, tips, things you can do. We have some fun facts, like quirky things about foxes and bears and stuff like that. So it's a good family-friendly site as well.
Yeah, indeed it is. And I want to thank you both for taking time to be with us today. It was a lot of fun. Got me juiced up to get out there and do some more with Emily, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Us too. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a good time.
Stacy Tornio and her 15-year-old son, Jack Tornio, their book is called 101 Outdoor Adventures to Have Before You Grow Up. And as, who was it, Tracy says, she's 61 years old and she still hasn't grown up. So I think this is a book that any age any age person could handle. Yeah, just to sort of keep with the things to do outdoor and the outdoor theme, we are going to talk next with the author of another great book. It's called Dragonflies and Damselflies. So we're going to learn all about dragonflies and damselflies next here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.